Okay, Boker Tov, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Kodesh Last Learning. So it's a pleasure to be back. Last time we missed class because it was Erev Shabbos and Erev 2-day Yom Tov. So it's very nice to be back and to continue our learning this morning. So we are going to continue our insight. We are in the Sefer Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh, making the most of Shabbos, inspiring insights into the meaning of purpose on Shabbos. So we're actually on page 54, but since we have a meh for a month, because last class we didn't have, I'm just going to recap. I'm not going to share the same additional insights, but just read through the beginning of the Sefer a little bit, a couple paragraphs back, just so we know where we are. So we're really on the top of page 54, but I am beginning at the top of page, in the middle of page 53. Shabbos is the link, says Rav Shimshon Pinkas Zatzal. Shabbos Kodesh, as well, links our ordinary physical world with the world of Kedusha in heaven. So we are living in a very Gashmistic world. We are Gashmistic people. We are bones and sinews. We are molecules. We are cells. And yet we are Ruchniistic people. So how do you take a total Gashmistic being and connect it to Ruchnius? These ideas should be diametrically opposed. It's a paradox. How could someone who's totally Kulo Gashmis also be Kulo Kedusha and Kulo Ruchnius? So of course we have a Neshama. And the Neshama helps us access tremendous Kedusha, even though we are physicality. And Shabbos Kodesh is a link that takes us from this mundane, ordinary physical world to the world of Kedusha in heaven. Quote, says Rav Shimshon Pinkas, Shabbos is our lifeline. It is our connection to Hashem. And through this connection to Hashem comes all blessing. All shefa, bracha, bracha, blessing. I said, mentioned something in a shir last week that I think it's kedai to mention again. I did not mention it in the shir. He writes, or Pinkas writes, that through Shabbos comes all blessing. So the Hebrew word for blessing, of course, is bracha. We talk about having shefa bracha. So listen to this beautiful var that I read in the Sefer, short and sweet on the parasha. It's a Feldheim Sefer by Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Bregman. Okay? Shabbos is a day of bracha. Through Shabbos comes all blessing. The word beirach, blessing, beis, reish, chaf, teaches us what the essence of a bracha is. When we ask Hashem to give us a bracha, or when we ask a person, or when a person gives a bracha, what are you in essence saying? That everything in your life should be doubled. The blessing should be such a shefa that it is doubled. How do you see that in the root word of bracha itself? Beis is two. Two is double of the letter and number that come before it. Aleph is one. If you double Aleph, you get to two. Double of one is two. So the beis is doubled of what comes before. The next letter is resh. Resh is double of what comes before. Kuf is 100. Resh is 200. Resh is double of what comes before. And Chaf is 20. Chaf is 20, which is double of what comes before. Yud is 10. It's amazing. It's just an amazing var, shor var, that reminds us of how, first of all, beautiful Lashon HaKodesh is, how divine in nature the Aleph Beis is, and how embedded into the word Beirach itself, Bracha, is this idea that what you're asking is everything should be doubled. So I just thought of something as I'm speaking literally that I did not think of even before, which is how aptly this applies to Shabbos. Wow, because Shabbos is a day of double. There's Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos. We say it in the Daven. I'm just going to get a sitter. The reason this isn't prepared in front of me is because I didn't even realize how it applies to Shabbos. One second. Shabbos is a day of tremendous doubling of blessings. Everything on Shabbos is double. One second, please. Oh, that idea of Beirach being double really applies. Another thing, okay, in the Musaf, in Musaf of Shabbos, we say, Ubiyama Shabbos, and on the Shabbos day, Musaf. What is Tefillas Musaf? Musaf corresponds to the additional sacrifices that were brought. So every day there was a Korban Tamid that opened up the daily service of Korbanos, and there's a Korban Tamid in the afternoon that closed the service of Korbanos. But on Shabbos and on the Yomim Tovim, there were extra Korbanos. That's what Musaf is. Musaf means extra. There were extra Korbanos on Shabbos. That's why we daven Musaf on Shabbos. So it corresponds to the extra Korbanos of Shabbos. And what do we say about the Musaf Korbanos of Shabbos? I'm quoting from Musaf of Shabbos. Ubiyam HaShabbos, what were the Musaf Korbanos? Shnei Kevasim B'nei Shana, two male in their first year lambs, Tamimim Pur. Ushnei Estronim Solas Mincha B'lula B'shem V'disko, and 2/10 of fine flour for the Mincha mixed with oil, and their poured libation offerings. Olas Shabbos B'Shavato Al Olas Tamim V'niska. This is the sacrifice of Shabbos. It is the Ola of Shabbos on every Shabbos, in addition to the Tamid. So what do you see? It is double. V'yam HaShabbos Shnei Kevasim Ushnei Esronim Solas Mincha. You bring two male lambs in their first year. You bring 2/10 of fine flour. You have Lechem Mishnah. Everything about Shabbos is doubled. So it makes a lot of sense to apply this Dvar Torah of Beirach that I read on the Sefer Shoron Suite on the Parsha to the idea that Shabbos is the source of all blessing, which is exactly what Shem Pinchas said. What is the source of all blessing? The source of all blessing is Beirach. Beirach, the letters, each letter is double what came before. Beis is double of Aleph, Reish is double Kuf, and Chof is double, Yud, to teach us that the source of our blessing is when things are doubled. And on Shabbos, we have Lechem Mishnah, Shnei Kevasim, Shnei Esronim, Shtei Neshamos. You even have a second neshama on Shabbos. All aspects of Shabbos is doubled. Shabbos is also commanded with two different aspects. On the one hand, there's Shomer, and the other hand, there's Zohar. There's two commands on Shabbos on the Seres HaDibros, the Zohar and the Shomer. There's Shnei Kevasim. There's Shnei Esronim Solas. There's Shtei Lachem, Lachem Mishnah. There's Shtei Neshamos. So you see, everything about Shabbos is doubled. No wonder Shabbos is the source of all bracha, because Beirach itself signifies doubling. Two is double of one, 200 is double of 100, and 20 is double of 10. So Beirach is wow. Through it, therefore, says Rav Shimshon Pinchas, comes all blessing. No wonder all aspects of Shabbos, from the Lechem to the Korbanos to the Mincha offering to the Tfilos, we double. We have Shachas and Musaf to our Neshamos. All aspects of Shabbos are doubled. So we daven to Hashem that all this doubling of the blessings that happens on Shabbos should carry through for during the week as well. Beautiful. Wow. Through it all comes blessing. So by the way, when I said last week in Ashir, Beirach is doubling, it was not even applied to Shabbos. I wasn't talking about Shabbos. But here you have an extra chiddush. The extra chiddush is that Shabbos itself is a day of doubling. That's right. Musaf. Added shows additional. Oh, I just thought of something else that's doubled. The man in the desert. What did they get? Usually they got an omer lagolgolas, one omer, which was the measurement of man per head. But for Shabbos, they had shnei omer lagolgolas, two omers per head. So it's mamish. As you keep developing this idea, you see that everything about Shabbos is doubled. And now we understand why totally through Shabbos comes all blessing, because through Shabbos comes all brachos. Beirach itself is double, because each letter is double of what comes before. It shows you how deep Lashon HaKodesh is, how divine in nature Torah is, how amazing the connections are once they start to come out. So there you go. Shabbos is a day of doubling. Wow, beautiful. Anyone severed from Shabbos is in effect, says Rav Shimshon Pinchas, severed from Hashem, because Shabbos is the link between us and Hashem, and you lose all this access of bracha, Rachmana Litzan, if you do not Shamar and Zachar, the double aspects of Shabbos, as you're meant to do, then you're removing yourself from this doubling of blessings. Regarding the creation, I'm in the middle of page 53. Regarding the creation of earth, it is written, and the earth was astonishingly, even the word Shabbos, the Shin and then Tav is double. Shabbos. And Beis is two. Wait, Shabbat. Well, Shin and Tav, it's not that it's doubled, but Kuf, Reish, Shin is 300, Tav is 400. But one follows the other, the Shin and the Tav, it follows after another, and Beis is two. Okay, so that was a direct message. Okay, regarding the creation of earth, it is written, and the earth was astonishingly void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That is the second pasuk in the Torah. There was tohu vavohu, there was choshech al pnei tohum. This description tells us, says Rav Pinchas, about the nature of our world. On its own, this world is a place of choshech and afela. It is a world of darkness. It is a, quote, infinite abyss into which a person can constantly fall. But certain things connect our world with heaven, namely the Beis HaMikdash and Shabbos Kodesh. So if you want to pull yourself out of the deep pit, if you want to pull yourself out of the hole, what you need is a connection and a rope. The rope to get you out, the ladder, the lifeline is Shabbos Kodesh. This is why someone who publicly desecrates Shabbos is equivalent to a non-Jew regarding certain halachos, for he only has this mundane world. So if someone is disconnected from Shabbos, he's connected from the source of all blessing, the source of all doubling, and the source of all kedusha. And interestingly and sadly, someone who publicly desecrates the Shabbos lahachos, or next week is Shach, we have the Mekoshesh Eitzim, the person who gathered sticks in the desert on Shabbos, who had to be put to death for being Mechal Shabbos. He's equivalent to non-Jews regarding certain halachos, for he only has this mundane world, therefore he's severed from the link. And this explains, quote, why Shabbos is treated so stringently, as mentioned, because, quote, Shabbos is our connection to life. If you want to know how to rejuvenate, you know, just like a car can't run without gas and a body can't run without food, a Jewish neshama cannot run without Shabbos. There's a Jew's neshama is connected to life through Shabbos Kodesh. Quote, says Rav Pinkus, it's the main artery. Chalila v'chaz, the main artery in a person's physical body is severed, so there's no physical life. The person can't live. So too, Shabbos. If a person does not have the main artery, which is Shabbos, Rechman Latzon, they cannot live spiritually. As long as a person keeps Shabbos, he remains alive. Drive safely. Hatzlacha, sweetie. All the mitzvahs we do, says Rav Pinkus, tzitzis, Tefillin, are done in Olam Hazar. They're done in this world. However, Shabbos is also kept in this world. That's true. You could say we do keep Shabbos in this world. We're going to eat in this world for Shabbos. We're going to make Kiddush and drink the grape juice, which is part of this world for Shabbos. We're going to set the table with the Lacha Mishnah for Shabbos. However, Shabbos is an aspect of Olam Haba. It has an aspect, a side of itself that is not from this world. I mean, even say in Ezmiris that Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, Yom Shabbos Menucha. By way of comparison, when a person entered the Beis HaMikdash, as Rav Pinkus, he was enveloped in Kedusha. This week's Parshas Bahaloscha, and the beginning of Echotzar. So in the beginning of Bahaloscha, Moshe commands Aaron to light the menorah. Bahaloscha san Eros, and Mul Panei Menorah, Yerushiva san Eros. So that was when you entered the Beis HaMikdash, you were enveloped in Kedusha. When he ate, the Lechem upon him were changed every Shabbos, by the way. Okay, there was a shulchan, it was a wood table covered in gold. On it were 12 loaves of bread corresponding to the 12 shvatim. Where were the loaves of bread changed? They stayed there the whole week, but when were they changed? Davka specifically on Shabbos. And you could say that that's even doubling. It was 6 and 6. It was stacks of one side was 6 and the other side was 6. So that itself, the lechem upon him, which was changed on Shabbos, represents doubling as well. I just said my internet connection is unstable. I have no idea why. I've been teaching on Zoom the whole week. Is there a problem with the connection? Are people having a problem with the connection? A little bit? Oh, wow. Okay, if it happens again, tell me and I'm going to try and move to a different room. Okay, if it happens again, please let me know. When he was eating from the table of Hashem, all of his actions were a form of avodah. So it was avodah Hashem to ingest the bread. The Kohanim would eat the bread, and it was the doubling of the bread, and it was changed on Shabbos and eaten on Shabbos. And so it is on Shabbos. When a person enters Shabbos, he's enveloped in Kedusha. And Rav Pinkus says that Shabbos is not the same as other mitzvos. With other mitzvos, you get reward in Olam Haba. So a person lays tefillin, a person shakes lulav and esrog, a person eats the shira of matzah. You are doing something physical in this world. It's very physical to ingest matzah. It's very physical for a man to lay tefillin. The reward comes, b'hai amaleka, schar mitzvos b'hai amalaka. The reward for mitzvos, say Chazal, is not in this world. It's in the next world. But Shabbos is different, says Rav Pinkus. It's a whole different life. It's not that you keep Shabbos in this world, and Be'ezor Hashem, you get reward in the next world. Schar mitzvos b'hai amaleka. In that world is a reward for mitzvos. No, when it comes to Shabbos, even though you keep it, from this world, in a sense you are transported to the next world. So you don't have to wait for the reward after 120. Shabbos itself gives you a taste of Olam Haba. So I just thought of something else. This is an incredible idea. There's something else that's doubled on Shabbos. The two worlds you're in is doubled. You're in one world and you're in another world. You are in two worlds simultaneously when you keep Shabbos. You're keeping Shabbos in Olam Haza, but you are transported to Olam Haba, in a sense. So we have two neshamos, We have two loaves of bread. We have musaf offerings. We have two lambs. We have two tenths of fine flour. We have a double portion of man. We have the lechem apanim, which was doubled, six on one side, six on the other side. It's changed specifically on Shabbos. You have two neshamos on Shabbos. You're in two worlds on Shabbos. You're in Olam Haza, but you're not only in Olam Haza. You're also in Olam Haba. It's not that you have to wait to get the rewards, as of Shimshim Pinkas. No, it is a whole different life. You're connected directly to Olam Haba itself. So on Shabbos, you're also in two worlds. Beis, Reish, Chav. Each letter is double of what came before. No wonder Shabbos is the source of all blessing. Mamish, everything on Shabbos is doubled. It's a gewaldic idea. It's so unbelievably beautiful. Your tefillas are doubled. Your neshama is doubled. The food is doubled. The man is doubled. This is an incredible idea that helps us understand why Shabbos is the source of all blessing. Beirach. So Rav Shimshon Pinkas says it's more than other mitzvahs. Other mitzvahs, you get the reward in Olam Haba. But when it comes to Shabbos, it's a whole different life. You're connected directly to Olam Haba itself while you are in this world. I quote from Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky in his Sefer, The Shabbos Companion. Hey, I'm just turning to where I want to be. 1 second, please. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, the Sefer is called The Shabbos Companion. Okay? So he quotes something interesting in on the Zmiros of Leil Shabbos, okay? But we say in a beautiful Zemra, I don't know if anyone sings this, a Zemra, sometimes in my house they do, Komekade Shvi'i, Karui though, such a beautiful Zemra. Anyone who sanctifies the Shabbos as is appropriate, Kol Shomer Shabbos Kadas V'chalalo, it's a beautiful Zemra. So in this Zemra, listen carefully, such an interesting insight that I never thought of before. And in my house, they often sing this Zemra, and I still never thought of it. One of the stanzas says, Hama'achrim Lotzeis Min HaShabbos U'mimharim Lavo. Hama'achrim Latzeis Min HaShabbos. What that means is we delay when departing from Shabbos. Hama'achrim, we're late. Latzeis Min HaShabbos. We keep Rabbeinu Tam. We don't want Shabbos to end. Like Rav Soloveitchik says when he asked in the Madrash Shtibel one time as a youth in his hometown of Kaslavish in White Russia. So he asked the Hasidim, when are we saying Ma'ariv already? When is Shabbos over? They were singing their Shal Shudas Zmiros. And they said to him, Ma'ariv, you already want Shabbos to be over? What's the rush? What's wrong with Shabbos? Why do you want Shabbos to end? So we say in the Zemer, Friday night Zemer. We delay in departing from Shabbos. We take in Shabbos early. We're hurrying, we're quick to bring in Shabbos, and we delay Shabbos end. But Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky points out something that I never considered before. He says, quote, the question is obvious. It wasn't obvious to Michal Aretz, but he says it's an obvious question. Why is it the reversed order? It says ha ma'achrim latzeis min Shabbos u'mimharim lavo. First we talk about Shabbos leaving, and then we talk about bringing in Shabbos. So Rabbi Dr. Twersky says this is an obvious question. Why is it a reversed order? It should first say u'mimharim lavo. We're quick to bring in Shabbos because we can't wait for Shabbos to come. So we want to make early Shabbos tosefes Shabbos, and then it should say ha ma'achrim latzeis min Shabbos. And after it should say we don't want Shabbos to leave. At the end of the day, it should read, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, who rushed to enter Shabbos and delay from departing Shabbos. That would make more sense. He quotes a Hasidic Rabbi, Rabbi Pinchas of Koritz, and he says he gives an Rabbi Pinchas of Koritz, K-O-R-I-T-Z, Koritz. He gives an ingenious answer. Day changes into night at a precise moment. Now, we don't know the precise moment, but day changes at an exact precise moment. But we don't know when that exact precise moment occurs. We bring in Shabbos early, okay? Even if you don't make early Shabbos, by the way, like we talked about in the summer, you're still making early Shabbos. When you light candles bisman, it's 18 minutes before Shkia. You don't know the precise exact second when day turns into night. So we always have automatically Tosefa Shabbos, even if you don't make Shabbos at 6:35 this afternoon, this evening, which is really what we call early Shabbos. Even Shabbos bisman is early Shabbos. We have to bring in Shabbos early so we do not violate Shabbos, since we cannot calculate the exact seconds and minutes. Similarly, we extend Shabbos at its close because you cannot determine the exact moment of nightfall. So the other thing that we don't know is exactly when it ends. So you add on a little bit before because you don't know exactly when it starts, and you add on a little bit at the end because you don't know exactly when it ends. However, Rav Pinchas of Koritz continues, this is so interesting, this was not necessary when our forefathers journeyed in the desert. This idea also relates a little bit to the parasha. I always try and see when there's a connection to the parasha Ba'aloscha, because in Ba'aloscha the cloud lifted up. It's the second year, the second month, oh my gosh, with the doubling again. When did they begin to journey? In the second year, on the second month, on the 20th of Iyar. That's really cool. They began to journey to their destiny in Eretz Yisrael, which is the fulfillment that was supposed to be the bringing of Olam Haba. It was supposed to fulfill Jewish destiny. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, Bias Haaretz, Mashiach would have come. That's it. And it was all doubled. When did the cloud lift up to journey? In the second year, which is doubling of the first year. In the second month, which is doubling of the first month, on the 20th day. Unbelievable. The cloud of glory lifted up. When the people were in the desert, says Rav Pinchas of Koretz, the clouds of glory, including the pillar of cloud, which was Hashem's presence, Hashem's Shechina, which functioned during the day, and the pillar of fire, which functioned during the night. So they always knew when the exact time is. The Israelites in the desert, says Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, could tell the precise moment when day changed into night. Why did they know exactly when day changed into night? Because Hashem's pillar of cloud was replaced by a pillar of fire. So there was no doubt. Hashem calculates the exact seconds and nanoseconds of time. That's what Rashi says. The beginning of Perek Beis of Bereishis tell us Hashem finishes work on the seventh day. Hashem didn't finish work on the seventh day, he finished work on the sixth day. So Rashi says it, but Hashem could calculate the exact precise second. So to us it looked like he finished work on the seventh day, but he didn't. He finished just as the sixth day was ending and the seventh day was beginning. In the desert, the pillar of cloud told them when it was day, the pillar of night told them when it was fire, so they didn't have a suffix of what time it was. They had no need in the desert, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, to make Shabbos early. And they had no need to make Shabbos leave and make it late. Why not? Because it was according to the cloud of Hashem. When the cloud was there, it was day. When the pillar of fire was there, it was night. They knew the precise time because it was going according to the calculations of the Shekhinah. The miraculous clouds were provided in the virtue of Aron HaKohen. We know that. The Anane HaKavod, the Be'er was in the Zchus of Miriam. The Anane HaKavod were in the Zchus from the Gemara of Aaron, and the man was in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Aaron died in Parshas Chukas, we know that the cloud ceased. Ananei HaKavod stopped when Aaron died. But then what are they going to do? They need Hashem's protection. So they resumed in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu. Listen to this. Keep your mind with me. It's amazing. When Aaron died, the Ananei HaKavod stopped. But then they resumed in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu, because the people could not be in the desert without the Ananei HaKavod. When did Moshe die? Moshe died, we know, on Shabbos afternoon. And the miraculous clouds no longer functioned. He died on Shabbos afternoon. Hence, that Friday, listen. Erev Shabbos, the last Shabbos of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, which was Friday, there was no need to make Shabbos early. They still had the Anan HaKavod and the pillar of fire. But then Moshe was Nifter on Shabbos afternoon. Now there's no more Anan HaKavod. So they don't know when precisely Shabbos ended. So the Israelites had to extend Shabbos to be beyond a doubt. There shouldn't be a suffix. That final Shabbos when Moshe lived, they didn't have a suffix when Shabbos was beginning because they still had the Anan of Hashem, the clouds of glory. But then, so they did have to make Shabbos early. Then Moshe Rabbeinu died Shabbos afternoon, and now they don't know exactly when Shabbos ends since there's no Anan covered. With Moshe's death, it disappeared. So they had to make Shabbos go out later to be sure they were inviting the Shabbos. The following week, without the cloud of glory, they had to make Shabbos a little bit early. Hence, historically, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, delaying the departure of Shabbos preceded rushing into Shabbos. Because the first thing I had to do was delay the departure. Once the Anan HaKavod disappeared, they didn't know when it was Shabbos over anymore, with Moshe's death on Shabbos afternoon. But then the next Friday, Yom HaShishi, they had to make Shabbos a little bit early because there was no more Anan HaKavod. So therefore, historically, says Rav Pinchas of Koretz, as quoted by Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, they first came HaMe'achrim Latzeis Min HaShabbos, and then the next week came Umim Harim Lavo, based on the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. He gives one more answer, which I thought was so beautiful as well. So I'm going to continue. When Rabbi Yisrael Vizhin was a child, he was playing outdoors late Friday afternoon, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, when his older brother called him to come into the house. It was almost Shabbos. Rabbi Yisrael looked up at the sky and he said, "It's not Shabbos yet. I could tell when it's Shabbos because the sky changes." Rav Aaron of Karlin gave another explanation for the reversed order. If you're seeing this Zemer in your house, think of this tonight. HaMe'achrim Latzeis Min HaShabbos Umim Harim Lavo. Rav Aaron of Karlin gave another explanation for the reversed order. The first Shabbos the Jews observed, when they were unaware of the sweetness of Shabbos, they were in no hurry to usher in Shabbos early. If you're not aware how sweet Shabbos is, if you're not aware how much blessing Beirach Shabbos brings, if you're not aware that Shabbos mamash transports you to another world while you're in this world, so you don't hurry to make Shabbos. You say, "Oh, I have to add to Shabbos? Why would I want to add to Shabbos?" You want to make Shabbos at the last possible minute if you're not aware how sweet Shabbos is. And you want to send it away if you're not aware how sweet it is at the earliest possible minute. The first Shabbos the Jews experienced in the desert, they were in no hurry to usher in Shabbos early because they weren't aware of how sweet it was. Only once they experienced the sweetness of Shabbos, they wanted to extend it. Hence, delaying the departure of the first Shabbos preceded bringing it in early. They weren't in a rush to bring it in early. They thought, oh, we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do this, we can't do that. So they didn't want to rush to make Shabbos. When Shabbos arrived and they saw how gewaldically beautiful it was, how sweet it was, how beneficial it was, they didn't want to let Shabbos go. Therefore, they delayed departing from Shabbos once it had arrived. And then the next Shabbos, they brought it in early because they saw how beautiful it was. So we see from here how Shabbos really gives us so much beauty, so much sweetness, so much blessing, and so much menuchas hanefes and yishuv hadas. So once we appreciate how beautiful Shabbos is, of course you don't want to let it go. And once you appreciate how beautiful Shabbos is, of course you want to bring it in early, you want to usher it in early. This idea that we are talking about based on the Sefer of Shimshon Pinchas, it's so true. I at the end of Shabbos, I don't want Shabbos to be over. I don't want to, even when it's actually over, even Mr. Rabbeinu Tam, if my husband's not home yet, you don't want to start washing the dishes. You don't want it to be over. You know that why? Because all that blessing, all that doubling is leaving. The extra neshama, neshama Yisera, is leaving. The doubling of the portion of food, the extra blessing of food, is leaving. Being in two worlds simultaneously, the aspect of Olam Haba is leaving. Why would you want to send Shabbos out? Ha'ma'achrim latzeis min ha'Shabbos, and then the next Shabbos, u'mimharim lavo. So Rav Shimshon Pinchas has taught us, when you were enveloped in Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash. When you ate, it was the table of Hashem. When they lit the menorah, it was the light of God. This week's parasha, Parshas Baalotcha. And so it is on Shabbos. It's not like other mitzvos that you'll be rewarded in Olam Haba. Rather, it's a whole different life. You are actually connected to a rope. Shabbos is a lifeline, an umbilical cord, a lifeline of blessing that takes you to Olam Haba while you are in Olam Haza, two worlds at once. I now want to quote from an extremely beautiful piece by Rabbi Soloveitchik, or by Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav, where he explains to us why Shabbos is me Olam Haba, in what aspect does Shabbos relieve us of the burdens of Olam Haza, and takes us to Olam Haba, which is exactly what Rav Pinchas is speaking about. I just need to see what page I need to be on. Here I am. Okay. In order to do this, first we need to screen share and look at Sefer Bereishis and see how Adam was cursed. Remember, Adam was supposed to live an existence of Olam Haba and Gan Eden his whole life. But he was kicked out of that existence after the sin. And that's what the weekday represents to us. The 6 days a week represents this mundane, kicked out of Garden of Eden existence. And when Shabbos comes, we're transported back to that idyllic, beautiful, pristine, pure existence. So I'm going to screen share with you. 1 second. I prepared it on the screen. Can you see that it says Bereishis 3? Yes, thank you so much. So Bereishis Perek Gimel is when Adam and Isha ate from the forbidden fruit. We're not talking about that today. What we're going to be focusing on is the curse that came to Adam. Okay, the curse that took him out of an Olam Haba existence into an Olam Hazeh existence. And once that happened, life was changed forever for all of mankind. Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ula Adam Amar. What did Hashem say to Adam in the aftermath of eating from the fruit he should not have eaten from? Ki shamata l'kol ishtecha, because you listen to the voice of your wife. V'tocha mina eitz, asher suvisicha leimer lo socha mimena. Listen, Adam, there's going to be consequences. I told you not to eat from the fruit. But what happened? You ate from it. Arura ha'adama ba'avurecha, the ground is cursed because of you. Be'itzavon tochelna, with great toil you will eat from the ground. Kol yimei chayecha, all the days of your life. Pasuk Yedchas, v'kotz v'dardar tatzmiach lach, thorns and thistles will sprout for you. V'achalta es esav hasada, you will eat the grass of the field. B'zeat apecha tochel lechem, by the sweat of your brow you will consume bread. Ad shuvcha al ha'adama, until you return to the ground. Ki mimenu lukachta, because you were taken from the ground. Ki ofer ata, because you are dust. ve'al avar tashuv, and you will return to dust. This was the curse that was given, the klala given to Adam HaRishon in the aftermath of the first sin. So let's just review it again before I stop the screen sharing. You ate from the fruit that I commanded you not to eat from. You are cursed. The ground is cursed because of you. With toil and sadness you will eat bread all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles will sprout for you. You will eat the grass of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your bread until you return to the ground, because you have been taken from it, because you are dust, and you will return to dust. This is a very significant curse, and we see that Adam was taken away from the Olam Haba existence, and he was given a Olam Haza existence, and that's the Sheishas Yemei Malacha for us. The Sheishas Yemei Malacha is this very Olam Haza dick existence. And Shabbos takes us into the Olam Haba existence. Now, before I stop screen sharing, let's just look at Bereishis Perek Beis. Okay, this is all going to be relevant for this piece we're going to be studying. Bereishis Perek Beis, Pesukim Aleph through Gimel. Vayichulu Hashemayim Ve'aretz V'chol Tzivam. The earth, the heavens, and the earth and all its hosts were finished. So I just quoted this pasuk before because this is where Rashi says Hashem can precisely calculate the time, what a person can't do. And Elohim finished on the seventh day from the work that he did. Vayishbos, Vayishbos, Shabbat, Shabbos. God ceased on the seventh day from all the work that he did. Vayivarech. Okay, first of all, I know these pesukim by heart, like you do because of Kiddush. But when I decided to share the inside of Shabbos being Beirach and the letters Beis Reish Chav, I forgot momentarily that Mamish, the Torah, tells you that Shabbos is Beirach. So here you have it. Vayivarech Elokim Mesiyam Hashvi, Vayikadosh Oso. Now we understand how God blessed. What does it mean, Vayivarech Elokim Mesiyam Hashvi? Wow, God blessed the seventh day. Well, if you know that the root word of Beirach is double, because Beis is double Aleph, Reish is double Kuf, Chav is double Yod, because 2 is double of 10, and 200 is double of 100, and 20 is double of 10, then you know how Shabbos is blessed. What does it mean, Vayivarech Elokim Mesiyam Hashvi, Vayikadosh Oso? He made everything on Shabbos double. Here it is. Here's the source for that idea that we are proposing, that Shabbos is a doubling of everything. It's right here in Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel of the Chumash. Vayivarech Elokim means not only that he blessed Shabbos, he made Shabbos a day of doubling. Vayivarech Beirach. He doubled all the blessings of Shabbos. He gave us a doubling of a neshama. He gave us a double world to existence. He gave us doubling of Lechem Mishnah. He gave us double of the man. He gave us a double karban, a double solas mincha, belula b'shemen. Everything about Shabbos is doubled. Why? Because Hashem Beirach es Yom HaShvi. Implied in the word Beirach is not just that there's a blessing on Shabbos, but from the root word and the letters, the osios, you see inherent in the osios, everything about Shabbos is doubled. Gevaldik. Vayivarech Elokim es Yom HaShvi vayikadosh Oso. Now we understand what it means on a much deeper plane, and a much deeper realm, that God doubled Shabbos through blessing it. Or I should say, he blessed it through doubling it. Vayikadosh Oso, he sanctified it. Kivo Shavat mikom alachto. On this day he ceased from all his work, Asher bara Elokim lasos, that God created to do. A lot to think about tonight, to think about in the Zmiros, to think about in the Leil Kiddush, and really what does Beirach mean in this aspect that Shabbos is doubled. Someone just said something very cute, which is very true. Oi, double calories. It's true. Very cute. So now I go to a piece by Rabbi Soloveitchik, and he explains, and I chose this piece specifically because he explains how Shabbos takes us out of Olam Haza to the Olam Habadik experience, which is exactly what Rav Shimshon Pinkas is telling us. Here we go. Rabbi Soloveitchik says that the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yates, Pasuk Gimel, the Es Shabsosai Tishmoru. We've spoken about this pasuk before. The pasuk tells us it's in Parshas Kedoshim. Ish imo va'aviv tira'u. A man shall revere his father and mother. Ve'es shabsosai tishmoru. Why does it say, my Sabbaths you shall guard? Shabsosai is plural. Why doesn't it just say, ve'es yom ha'shabbos tishmoru? You shall guard the Sabbath day. Why does it talk about shabsosai, which is a doubling? So first of all, we already have one answer based on our learning today. It makes sense. It fits in with the fact that Shabbos is doubled. So it would say Shabsosai Tishmoru. Soloveitchik gives us a very deep answer that relates back to the sin of Adam and Isha on this concept of Shabbos is Me'in Olam Haba. He begins by quoting the Zohar. The Zohar indicates that there is a plural Shabsosai, signifies two Sabbaths. Ishir is really getting more and more amazing. Not me at all, Chas v'Shalom. The fact that there are so many connections to this idea that in the word Beirach, everything is doubled. Hashem built into the fabric of Shabbos, Beis Reish Chof. Hashem built into the fabric of Shabbos, all the way from Sheishis Yimei Bereishis, this idea that everything about Shabbos is doubled, including, the Zohar says, two Sabbaths. So it's not only that there are two neshamas, it's not only that there's two portions of man, it's not only that there's two lambs extras, the Musaf. It's not only that there's two neshamas, it's not only that there's two worlds, there's two Shabbosos itself. How does the Zohar learn that out? Because the Pasuk says, V'es Shabsosai Tishkmaru, you should guard my Sabbaths, plural, says the Zohar, there are two Sabbaths. What does that mean? In Aramaic, Shabbos de Le'ela and Shabbos de Le'tata. What does that mean? Shabbos de Le'ela is the supernal Shabbos, and Shabbos de Le'tata is the earthly Shabbos. So there are two Sabbaths. There's the heavenly, exalted, above this world Shabbos, Shabbos de Le'ela, and then there's Shabbos de Le'tata, the early Shabbos, the earthly Shabbos. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, when Adam ate the forbidden fruit, okay, you're not supposed to eat that. I think it's one. If all Jews will keep just one Shabbos, I think. I don't think it's... Is it two or one? Could anyone else clarify? There was a direct message question. I think it's one. If all Jews will keep just one or two Shabbosos, kalacha, then Mashiach will come. I think it's one, but I don't want to be quote because I'm not 100% sure. When Adam ate the, if anyone else knows, you could reply, please, so that we can have the correct answer. When Adam ate the forbidden fruit, God cursed him. We went and we looked at that curse. However, because God also blessed the Shabbos, which we already saw, by Yivarechel Kimes Yom HaShabbos, therefore Adam's curse became nullified when Shabbos arrives. Listen carefully. Adam is cursed. Adam does not represent only Adam HaRishon, the person. He represents all of mankind. Mankind is cursed to toil. There's a wheat shortage in the world because of the war of Russia and Ukraine. One of our tour guides on Pesach in Eretz Yisrael is explaining something very, very interesting to us, because you saw some wheat fields. This is fascinating. Listen to this. There were wheat fields you see that are clearly growing and being worked, but it's a Shemitah year. He explained to us, we had from tour guides, he explained to us, I think it was the Chazon Ish, don't quote me on that, the Chazon Ish, who gave a stipulation that in order to grow animal food, if the wheat is planted before Rosh Hashanah, with the stipulation that it is being used for animal food, it may be worked and grown on the Shemitah year. So I asked him how. So he said, because animals are commanded to feed your animals. Animals are allowed to have food on Shemitah. So if the farmers are growing the wheat to be used as animal food, then it's permitted. He said, these farmers now face a huge nisayon. Why? Because it's a Shemitah year. They planted the food before Rosh Hashanah. They're working it to feed the animals, which I believe it was the Chazon Ish who said that this is mutter, but that could be wrong. And also, I say this all the time. No one passes on any halacha from anything that I'm saying, ever. And we're not farmers. But Lamaisa, this is a fascinating idea. Now these farmers face a tremendous nisayon. Why? There's a major wheat shortage. Because I think he said 30 or 40% of the world's wheat comes from the region above the Ukraine or Russia. So there's a massive wheat shortage around the world. So now these farmers are facing a huge nisayon. Why? It used to be they would get X amount of money for the wheat as animal fodder. Now they have fields of wheat, and the price of wheat has skyrocketed. I think he said it's in the millions of dollars or millions of shekels that they could profit if they would sell this wheat on the wheat market for people food. They are only allowed to work the field, and they planted and they grew with the stipulation that it's animal food, but the price for animal food is a pittance. Now that there's a wheat shortage, they have a huge nisayon. He said that what's at stake is millions of dollars. I forget the exact number, but mamish millions of dollars. We found this fascinating. If they sell it as on the wheat market and the world market, global economy, they stand to make a lot of money. So it's a big nisayon. What is a person supposed to do during that time? I'm not judging. I'm just stating the facts. I don't know what I would do if I was faced with such a nisayon. And I'm not a farmer, so it's not shayach. But I'm just telling you something very, very interesting. So this is all part of the curse of the 6 days of the week. You'll grow thorns and thistles by the sweat of your brow. You return to the ground. It's a life of toil and labor. When Adam ate from that fruit he was not supposed to eat from, God cursed him. But God also blessed the Shabbos day. Therefore, says Rav Soloveitchik, quoting the Zohar, the curse to mankind becomes nullified when Shabbos arrives. Now we understand even deeper why Shabbos is Me'in Olam Haba. It's literally taking you into a different existence. On Shabbos, it's as if Olam Haza ceased to exist. Adam was only sent out of the Garden of Eden because of the curse, because he ate the fruit. But on Shabbos, you have a way back in. The curse is nullified. Adam's curse, says Rav Soloveitchik, contains four components. There are actually four different aspects of the curse. The first component is hard labor. With the sweat of your face, which literally means the sweat of your face, you will eat bread. That's the first aspect of Adam Rishon's curse. The second aspect of the curse to Adam is endless uninterrupted work, amal, the type of work that is mentioned in Kohelas. Then I turned to look at my deeds, and my hands had wrought upon the toil, the amal that I toiled to do. And behold, everything is havel, havelim, vanity and frustration. So the first is, by the sweat of your face, you will eat bread. The second is endless, uninterrupted toil. Constantly running from one job to the next, from one place to the next. Think of how hard, for using the example of farmers, they work the whole week. The third component of the curse is be'itzavon tochal lechem. Itzavon is, what is itzavon? Restlessness, fear, and suffering that characterize a competitive society. So it's not one curse that Hashem gave Adam. It's one curse with four sub-curses. The first is sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread. The second is endless, uninterrupted labor. The third is the aspect of itzavon tochal lechem, which is restlessness, fear, suffering that characterize a competitive society. Maybe the guy down the block will take my parnasa away. Maybe people will go to his store and not my store. That is fear. That is restlessness. A person in need of a livelihood, says Rav Soloveitchik, is always frightened that someone will take his possessions away. I opened a farm store here and that, or a guy opened a farm store in the next block. Maybe people will go to his farm store and not come to my farm store. It's a valid, real fear. It's all based on the curse to Adam HaRishon. This is Be'itzavon. The fourth component of the curse is that man became mortal. Mortality. Ki ofer ata ve'al ofer tashuv. You are dust and to dust you shall return. So Adam's curse has four components. The first is the sweat of your brow. The second is endless, uninterrupted work. The third is the aspect of itzavon, anxiety, restlessness, fear of competition. And the fourth is that man ultimately dies and returns to the dust. Adam's curse was to suffer continuous, exhausting labor that by nature is unproductive. Thorns and thistles, God said, the ground will sprout for you, resulting in conflict and ultimately death. Is that a elevated existence? Is that a holy, dignified existence? It's an existence of curse. It came because you ate from the fruit I told you not to, and now God curses man. Quote, the blessing of Shabbos. I can't believe I mamish decided to share that Beirach. I thought it was a 2 minute Dvar Torah because Beis Reish Chav, everything is doubled. I did not realize until I was literally started talking how much it applies to Shabbos. Vayuvarech Elokim es Yom HaShviyi. He made everything about Shabbos double, like we've seen in today's shiur. Quote, the blessing of Shabbos, says Rav Soloveitchik, the bracha of Shabbos, relieves man from all four components of this curse. Work is dignified, says Rav Soloveitchik, and it is ennobling as long as man knows when to stop. You know, there's an expression, no one ever said on their deathbed, gee, I wish I spent more time in the office. Work is necessary. Not only is it ennobling, it's necessary. It's part of Sheishas Yimei Melacha since the first curse. But it can be ennobling if you know when to stop. If we emulate God and we know when Shabbos comes, the curse stops and the blessing begins, then your work is ennobling. It has purpose. It is sustaining you to bring you to the yom that is kulo Shabbos umnucha lechaye olamim. The Torah tells us that God worked and then God stopped so we may imitate him. Quote, on Shabbos, we are released from the monotony, from the monotony, the jealousy, and the rancor that are often part of mundane pursuits. Shabbos releases us from the curse, and it literally takes us back to, even though you're still in this rut, takes you back to that idyllic, beautiful paradise existence. We are released from all of this. Says Rav Soloveitchik, quote, I'm skipping. On Shabbos, however, the world unites with the Creator. We recreate the wholeness of creation, as on that original Yom Shishi before the first sin. That is why our sages indicate that Shabbos is a foretaste of the world to come. To bring us here full circle, Soloveitchik says, what is it about Shabbos that brings you into Me'ein Olam Haba? What is it about Shabbos that's Ein Olam Haba? Man is released from the curse. The curse of by 6 days you shall work, the anxiety, the toil, the endless suffering, the competition, the idea that we are all going back to the afar, the itzavon. On Shabbos we are released because yes, God cursed Adam and the ground because of him, but he also blessed Shabbos. Through the blessing of Shabbos, Beirach, everything is doubled. We have access to the next world even while we are in this world, and therefore we create the wholeness of creation, we unite with the Creator through Shabbos, and therefore the sages indicate that Shabbos is a foretaste of the world to come. So as we prepare for Shabbos today, there's a lot to think about. But particularly when we make Kiddush tonight, and we are remembering that Vayivarech Elokim Es Yom HaShvi VaYikadosh Oso, in what way did God bless Shabbos, which is the source of our blessing? All aspects of Shabbos. From our neshamos to the food to the worlds in which we find ourselves, as Shabbosai Tishmoru, Shabbos itself is doubled. Bring us a shafa bracha that Be'ezrat Hashem carries over into all aspects of our lives. A me'achrim latzeis min haShabbos u'mimharim lavo. So it was so nice to be back. Baruch Hashem. I thank our Shir sponsor very, very much and hostess who wishes to remain anonymous, which is why I don't publicly thank her by name. I wish everybody a wonderful and uplifting Shabbos. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.